What's up, Whoa That's Good fam? Welcome back to the Whoa That's Good podcast. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Y'all, we have a special guest. She is not new on this show. We have heard some of her advice, but she has more to give. I cannot wait to have this conversation with my good friend, Demi Tebow. Demi, welcome back and happy birthday month.
Aw, thank you so much. It's always so fun to just get to speak with you and see you. We actually didn't see each other too long ago because someone won a K-Love Award for this very podcast. So I just want to say congratulations again. I was so honored to be there and to just sit beside you and to be able to just cheer you on. So just congratulations again and just so amazing what you get to do with this podcast.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Just the lives that you get to impact and inspire, and just as your friend, just so proud of you.
Thank you. That truly means so much. It was so fun to be there together. And, you know, for all of you people who saw me at the K-Love Awards and saw my baller outfit, Demi was my stylist. So shout out to Demi. And you crushed it, friend.
No pressure.
She crushed it. I texted her. I was like, hey, so I have this thing coming up and I'm really out of touch with fancy outfits. So I need your help. And she hit me up. It was so awesome. Like, this is like a WTG, oh, well, that's good moment, was when I showed up to the K-Love Awards and I'm wearing this all white sequins pantsuit and Demi's wearing this all black, like, slick look. It's like so nice. And I'm like, oh, girl, you look so good. And she was like, thank you. I was between the white and the black, but I knew you were wearing white and I'm a good friend and I didn't want to do that to you. And I was like, that is so sweet.
I mean, that would just be the worst friend. I would never do that. You crushed it. You wore it so well. You looked awesome. And I just loved your speech. And I actually didn't know that's where Whoa That's Good's name came from. So
isn't that cool?
That was a good thing that I got to learn. You know, so it's so funny. I was, when you texted me and you're like, hey, friend, I got this thing. Can you, do you mind like helping me out? I was like on what's those things that you like walk with in the gym, like elliptical walker. Because I've been traveling. We were in the Philippines and I was in the hotel's gym in the Philippines, like just getting a quick sweat in because I haven't worked out in like weeks. And I was like, okay, today is the day. And I was like just drenched, and just when I was like looking to take a break, I saw your name popping up. And so
That's awesome.
I was like wiping the sweat off of my phone.
That's
trying
awesome.
To type you, like text you back. And that was just
That's
time.
Awesome. And hey, you got it. Even with the sweat and all things, you made me look awesome. Well, yes, it is birthday month for you. It's birthday month for me. I just had my birthday and we were just talking about how we invited you and Tim to our hilarious birthday party this year where we will be doing karaoke, but you have to come as the person of the song that you're singing. So like if you're coming and you're singing, you know, Uptown Funk, then you are showing up as Bruno Mars. And so we send y'all this invitation and sadly y'all can't come. And Demi was just telling me, she was like, you have to get this on video. And so for the sake of everyone listening, I will give video to everyone.
Texting someone because I saw who's all going to be there. I'm DMing someone. I'm like, hey, I have to have footage of this.
It's going to be
hilarious.
Can you
reveal who you're going to be or no?
Look, it is a surprise. But if once we do it, it will be blasted. Like, y'all will see our performances out there in the world. The real funny one is going to be Christian Huff because most of y'all have seen his dance moves and his singing is a close tie
as far as his dance moves.
It's just as good. It's hard to beat his dance moves, but it might be better. So that'll be fun. But look, our birthday is silly and it's fun, but your birthday, you're doing something much more meaningful and impactful, and I am right there to get behind all of it. So tell us about how you're spending your birthday and the campaign that you have going on to help some amazing children over in the Philippines.
Yeah, Sadie, the Philippines is such a special place to both me and Tim. For those of you guys that's listening that didn't know this, Tim, my husband, was actually born in the Philippines. His parents were missionaries and he grew up there for the first, I think, 5 years of his life. And when I won Miss Universe, the first country that I visited, like literally a week after, was the Philippines. And it's just become a really special place to both Tim and I. Sadie, the Philippines is such a special country. I feel like it is just one of the most joyful cultures, places, like warm, welcoming cultures that I've ever experienced. And I love going back, but I will tell you, in the last couple of years, my heart has been so broken for the Philippines. The Philippines, about 80% of children in the Philippines are extremely vulnerable to something called OSEC, or some people call it CSAM, and it basically stands for the online exploitation, online sexual exploitation of children.
Wow.
And the worst thing about that is that 80% of child exploitation is perpetrated by a relative. And listen to this, 42% by a parent.
Wow.
And that is just absolutely heartbreaking. So you would think that, okay, you know, we're rescuing these children. I mean, it's just the amount of number of kids that need help, that need saving is, I mean, I don't even know if you can put a number to that, because it's not something that happens necessarily publicly. It's so hard to find and to narrow down. And then the worst thing is you do get to a point where, okay, we get to rescue these kids. We have partners in the Philippines, Compassionate Hope, and we have the Tibo Village of Hope campus that's currently housing multiple children, sibling groups, families, cousins. And you might think, well, you know, they get rescued. Why can't they be reintegrated with their families, or why can't they go back to their parents? Well, it's because it's exactly the place that they are supposed to be the safest in, that are their perpetrators, that are serving as it's happening in their own homes. It's happens by, if it's not a parent, it's an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, a close relative. And that is the just super sad part about it. There's a couple of factors that lead to this taking place. And honestly, the majority is, one, the amount of poverty in the Philippines. So it's just the amount of families that find themselves in desperation and in a vulnerable moment where they think that selling their child is going, you know, is their only way out to feed the other child. And in my opinion, no parent should ever have to decide which child they need to sell today in order to feed another. So that is something that we're heavily fighting against. And then the second thing that leads to online sexual exploitation of children in specifically the Philippines is that the Philippines is such a big English-speaking country. And the biggest consumer of OSEC or CSAM is English-speaking countries. That includes the United States, right here where we are right now. The United States is one of the biggest, if not the biggest consumer. And it's absolutely revolting. And you know what, Sadie? It's so sad, and it's absolutely heartbreaking that, you know, we might not be able to get to everyone in our lifetime. And we can only pray for so many lives that we won't be able to touch ourselves. But you're just reminded that even just one life is worth that fight.
Right. Wow, Demi, that is just wild to even learn about. And I know that so many people who are, you know, listening to this podcast, is probably the first time they've ever even considered something like that happening, you know, because it's just so evil. You can't even almost fathom that being reality. But, you know, friends who are listening, just let it sink in. I know it's hard to think about, but that those are people who are just like you, kids who are growing up, whose parents, it's not that, I mean, they're that evil. It's that they're in impossible situations. You know, a lot of them, you know, might be just have horrible intentions, and a lot of them are just in impossible situations. And, you know, we're in a position where we're able to help. And I love what you said at the beginning, how it's almost like this crazy impossible number where you look at it and you're like, we're probably not going to get to see all of those people saved in our lifetime. But at the same time, we can see some, and that's worth it. But in order to do that, we have to help. We have to do our part. And I think sometimes you look at the world and you see the evil and you think, you know, who am I? What can I do? But Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Go be the light of the world. Go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go give what you have to give. Go serve in the way that you can serve. And so y'all set a great tone for that, and y'all invite people in to be a part. And so for those listening, how can they get to be a part of what y'all are doing and help out with this awesome campaign?
You
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Yeah, I love that, Sadie. I so agree with you. You know, we are co-laborers with God and we have a job that needs to get done. He always shows up. He always does his job. He always plays his part, but we have to be able to do the same. And you know what? I don't know what everyone listening to, they might be called to something completely different. You know, they might be called to a different organization. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Tim Tebow Foundation or, you know what? It might be a completely different cause, but I just love to encourage you that if you're listening to this, Go up, get up today, step up and go and support something that has the ability to have an everlasting impact.
Yeah,
I decided to title this birthday fundraiser as the Everlasting Crown. And that's kind of the theme that we've been following for the birthday fundraiser. And our goal is to raise $200,000 that will be able to fund 4 new homes on the Compassionate Hope, Tebow Village of Hope campus. And that will be able to give me chills. That'll be able to house 80 children at a time.
That's awesome.
And you know, that's not just 80 children now. That's 80 children now and when they graduate from the program or when they graduate high school and they go to college, that's 80 more children and 80 wow. more children. And you know, that's just 4 homes for the time being. But that is what essentially this fundraiser will be able to do. And so we've set a goal of raising $200,000. You can visit timtebowfoundation.org. You can follow along on social media, on my personal profile. We've got links up where you can give and where you can learn more about the cause. And then actually just as a prelude to the fundraiser, I partnered with the Tim Tebow Foundation and we wrote a 5-day free devotional that anyone can download. And it really just explains the meaning behind this fundraiser. When I got to the Philippines, I have learned about so many of the kids' stories. I've been able to pray for them. I've been able to know their names. But Sadie, meeting them in person, even though I knew this, meeting them in person, meeting Ellie for the first time in person, I followed her story, getting to give her a hug, getting to sit down with her and have a glass of mango juice. You know, it just reminds you that, gosh, these kids like have dreams and they have hopes. And thank goodness they have dreams and they have hopes. And they have hope that they can have a future because someone cared enough to do something about their situation.
That's awesome.
I got to sit down with Ellie and I just want to share this quick story because I just felt like, I mean, it was so impactful to me. But I sat down with Ellie and I got to have a conversation with her. And she alongside her siblings and her cousins were trafficked by her mom and her aunt.
Wow.
And she was trafficked for multiple years from a young age. And just her story is unimaginable, Sadie. But I got to sit down with her and just to see the joy, the genuine joy that she has in her eyes and the genuine hope that she has in her eyes was so inspiring and motivating to just go and chase after the next Ellie, you know. And I asked her a specific question. I said, Ellie, you look so happy right now, but I know that there was a time in your life where things weren't great. Can you like give me one or a couple of words that would explain your feeling towards the past and towards how you're feeling now? And she kind of used a peculiar word, something that I completely did not expect. She said, flower. And I was like, you know, Ellie, what do you mean by flower? And she said, Demi, a couple years ago, I felt like just a dead little plant that had no heart, had no feeling. I felt like a robot. Like I didn't care. I wasn't sad. I wasn't happy. I was just numb.
Wow.
And the Lord has transformed my life into a beautiful blossoming flower. Wow. And she said, you know what, Demi, one day when I graduate high school, I want to go and study to become a lawyer because I want to be able to be a voice for kids like myself, like my siblings, like my cousins that didn't have a voice, that wasn't able to fight back for ourselves. So, you know, just knowing that, gosh, like it's real, kids. It's not just something you see on social media or on Instagram that seems so far away in a completely different country that we might not be familiar with at all.
Yep. That's so good, Demi. And I love how you're like, that is such a good picture of how she used to feel and how she feels now. And I think you have to realize, like, because sometimes you think like, okay, this has already happened to them, so their hopes and dreams are already ruined. But no, like, they're still alive. They're still real. They still have life ahead of them. And when you give them hope, sometimes that's all they need to really step into their future. And, you know, we had a similar situation recently. We were in the Dominican Republic, and we have, like, grown up with these kids. We've been there. Someone in our family has been there every year since I was 11, if not all of us. I've missed a couple years here and there for different things. But it was so cool. We had, like, a testimony day when we were there a month ago. And so many of them said the same thing. They were like, you know, before we met y'all, we just felt like we were unloved and we didn't matter and all this stuff because they were orphans. And they said, and then we met y'all, and it wasn't y'all that did it, but it was y'all showing us Christ's love. And then one of the kids said, because of the love of God I've come to know from meeting y'all, that is what I want to spend every day of my life doing for others, is loving people like y'all and God has loved me. And it's just so cool. Like you talked about kind of that multiplication factor, that it's not just 80 kids. It's 80 kids who are going to impact 80 more, and it's 80 more that's going to impact 80 more. And that's how you see change happen. And so you're not going to be the one that saves the world, but you're going to be a part of it. And so when you reach that one person who's just like your friend, who feels like a flower now, like imagine the different people that she's going to go speak to, that's going to water the garden of so many other people's life. And so just don't underestimate the power of what you can do by getting involved with something like this. And like Demi is so kind to say, it doesn't have to be the Tebow Foundation, but from me saying it to y'all, that's a great place to start. If you don't know how to get involved and you want to make a good change in the world, they're doing great things. Demi, I want to talk to you about Everlasting Crown, because you touched on this a little bit. You touched on the Devo. And one thing I want to talk to you about is, because we've heard you talk about in other podcasts that you've been on, that these crowns that we wear, as far as pageant crowns, they fade. They go away. They literally will take it off your head and they will put it on someone else's head. But then there are everlasting crowns from the Bible that we literally talk about, that the Bible talks about, that are gonna last forever. One thing that you told me about that I thought was so interesting is just the preparation that goes behind trying to get an earthly crown, like all the preparation of trying to get to be, you know, Miss Universe. I can't even imagine how much prep goes into that. But what's kind of the difference in maybe preparation, or maybe even some similarities that you've noticed as you journey to get earthly crowns and as you journey to get eternal crowns? Is there like something that you can check yourself for of like, okay, man, I'm acting as if I'm working for an earthly crown and not eternal? Kind of give us some guidelines as we walk through and notice the difference between those two.
Yeah. Sadie, Paul writes in First Corinthians 9:25, he writes, don't chase perishable crowns. And mm-hmm. what he was referring to in the Bible is there was the Isthmian Games that's comparable to the Olympic Games, was big deal back in the day. It's like 20 minutes down the street, like from where Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, writing about the Isthmian Games. And what he was referring to, just for context, is that the winners of the Isthmian Games, of these like super intense athletic games that literally these athletes spend years for preparing. I mean, there were even like speculation that some of the athletes died just because of the wow. intensity of the games. Like it was a really big deal back then. Wow. And for it being such a big deal that athletes were willing to give up their lives for, you know what they won? They got a wreath. Great. Mm. I got a crown, right? It was made out of like hundreds of pearls and diamonds and was very like monetarily valuable and it was beautiful. These athletes got a wreath made out of pine and celery leaves.
Wow.
And talk about a perishable crown. right. That is definitely something that doesn't last. And, you know, I went back and I asked myself the question, okay, well, what does it mean? Paul says we don't need to chase perishable crowns, but imperishable crowns, crowns that last forever. What does that mean? As believers, I think that means something to the extent of what has the ability to have an everlasting impact for the kingdom.
Yeah, that's great.
And a question that I asked myself was like, okay, well, exactly. I think the way that you stated that question is so perfect, because something that I got to say to you is the earthly crowns that I'm chasing are the things in my life that are temporary.
Yeah.
You see, when I handed over my beautiful pearl and diamond crown to the next Miss Universe, who was so deserving, I handed over my confidence. I handed over what I thought was my passion, my purpose in life. Everything that I had put my passion and purpose and meaning in my life into lasted literally a year. Yeah. And I handed that back. And you see, it doesn't mean that we can't strive for things that are competitive, or we can't strive to do good things. We can't strive to win awards or to get a salary raise or to get a bigger role in the company. It doesn't mean that we can't do those things. It doesn't mean that those things are bad.
Yeah.
But I think the question that we need to ask is, why are we chasing those things?
It's good.
Are we chasing that just for ourselves? Or is there a bigger reason behind that? And I'm so grateful for the platform that I gained through being Miss Universe. I'm so grateful for the community that I gained through Miss Universe, because it has enabled me to be able to reach so many more people than I ever would have been able to reach. And for that, I'm so thankful. I'm so honored. And that's something that I will cherish forever. But you see, I don't want it to just stop there. You know, if you're in sports or I don't know, whatever you're into, I just want to urge you to not let it stop just on that sports field or just on that stage. How can you use that to make a lasting impact? And so that's really where the Everlasting Crown title or theme originated from. That's a little bit.
I love that. And Demi, that's so relatable. Like, not everybody is Miss Universe, but everybody has something that they, you know, put too much emphasis on as if that's their identity, as if that's where their confidence, that's where their joy is held. And so many people do that in high school. You know, they're like a high school football star, and then they go to college and they're not the high school football star, or they're, you know, the most popular girl in school, and they go to college and they can't find their groove or whatever. And you realize, oh wait, I put so much confidence in who everybody knew me as and not really in who I am and who I'm created to be. And you know, when you strip it all back, you have to be able to realize that who you are without any of the extra added stuff is enough. You know, it's enough to build the kingdom. And man, it's enough for God to be proud of you and to be grateful for you, because he made you exactly who you are. So what a good message, Demi. So I want to ask you, because you talked about these kids having hopes and dreams and all these things. You know, we know you as Miss Universe, who's married to Tim, who has this organization, who does amazing things. But whenever you were little, like, what are some of the things that you hoped and dreamed about? Like, if you didn't grow up to be Miss Universe, what do you think you would have been doing based off Demi's young girl dreams?
Gosh, Sadie, I think it started off with me. Actually, you and I spoke about this before. It's so funny because I felt like we had very similar hopes and dreams in a lot of ways as little girls. But I always like dreamt of being like the president of the country. And then later on, I wanted to be a lawyer. And I actually, not a lot of people know this about me, but I actually pursued a legal career for like 6 months until I found myself, I was working at a law firm, just gaining experience interning, and I found myself on the floor crying with clients about their situation, and I was like, yep, I am just way too emotionally invested in this. This is probably not going to work.
Oh my gosh.
Business management and entrepreneurship was the way I then ended up going, but that was a great 6 months learning. And you know, that's kind of something I wish I had done more of, because I think in our minds, we make up what something is supposed to be, and then you get there and it might not always be that way, and therefore we get disappointed, or we just don't have a realistic expectation. And so for kids listening to this, like, go and do as many internships as you possibly can. Go and learn. Go and like try out different things. I wish I had done that more of. I think in the US I've learned that internship is a way bigger thing than it is in South Africa for a whole multiple reasons that we don't need to get into. But that is something that I have kind of just loved from, you know, whenever I meet someone that has a child in high school, or they're like, yeah, they're interning at this company. And I think it's so great, because you have this opportunity to learn. Like, don't just go and do an internship so that it looks good on your resume one day, or, you know, so that you have something to write on your, go and do it. Like, it's so awesome getting to learn about different things that you can do one day when you grow up. Why would you not, you know?
Why would you not? I love that. And I think because, I almost think it might be because in church culture, we talk so much about like, do what you're called to do, do what your purpose to do, and all that kind of stuff, that we think that our first job has to be like our entire calling, you know? And I don't think that's the case. Like, Louis preached a message recently that I thought was so good. And he said, you are called to be a reflection of the image of Christ, period. That's what you're called to do. So whether you're going to do that at the internship in law school, or you're going to do that, you know, working at Starbucks, or you're going to do that when you move to Colorado to pursue skiing, like wherever it is, like if you're being a reflection of the image of God, if you're being a light in the world, if you're loving God and you're loving people, then you're doing what you're called to do. And so, you know, friends, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to be a lawyer. That's not what I feel called to do, so I'm not going to do this internship. No, that internship's probably going to teach you so much about what you actually want to do and who you are, and strengthen your skill sets and put tools in your toolbox. And, you know, in that moment, you know, you're sitting there crying with the people, and obviously that wasn't right for that space. But now here you are in the Philippines crying for the injustice in that situation, and going and getting people to rally behind you to help a bad situation. And so, yeah, that actually showed you more about who you are and cultivated you into the space that you're in. And so you just never know. Everything is used. God uses everything in every season. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, I so agree. And I also think that, you know, sometimes when you try something new, it doesn't necessarily show you always like what it is that you want to pursue, but it might show you also the things that you don't want to pursue.
And
to
me,
I'm thankful for those moments, because that is clarity as well. You know,
that's so true.
It doesn't, a no also is clarity. It doesn't just have to be a yes. Like, yes, this is what you need to do. So I think that's something that we can get held up on so easily. You're right.
That's so true. I love that. So good. Okay, so for those listening, obviously we talked about some big topics. We talked about helping people around the world and going after, you know, things that you want to do and your calling and reflection of the image of God. But then there are also like things that I feel like we might think would be like a shallow thing that we would struggle with, but it's just true. And Demi and I were talking about this recently, because I was in a situation where I honestly just felt a little peer pressure. And I was like so embarrassed that I felt peer pressured, and so embarrassed by how embarrassed I was to not really stand up to what I felt called to do. And here I am, I'm 25 years old. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. I am doing, you know, the things in my life that I feel, you know, I mean, I'm honoring God, doing all these things. But yet, I'm married, I have a kid, like all these things, just saying that to say, I'm not in high school, I'm not in middle school, I'm not in college, and yet I still felt peer pressure. And yet I still had a moment where I was embarrassed to say something that I felt God was leading me to do. And so there are some things that we feel embarrassed to even talk about, like we struggle with peer pressure, or maybe we struggle with jealousy or envy or insecurity or whatever it is, but those things are so real. And you were so sweet to me, and you even like shed a tear for me and encouraged me to, you know, really own who like I'm called to be and what God's doing in my life. And it was so encouraging to hear you and Tim like speak to me in that way, because y'all are living like a similar lifestyle. Like y'all are living, and I don't mean similar lifestyle and we travel a lot and we do all this stuff. I'm talking about similar lifestyle. We're 100% pursuing the Lord. And so for the girls out there and guys who are listening, who are like, look, I want to change the world, but to be honest, I just struggle with peer pressure. Like I'm just struggling with like being confident in my sorority to let them know that I'm a believer. I'm just struggling, you know, at a coffee shop to say God bless you to the person who gives me my coffee. Can you speak a little bit into having those moments of feeling maybe a little bit, I guess, just not having the confidence to live out your faith fully, and how to get past those peer pressure moments?
Yeah. Sadie, I think it's something that, if we all had to be honest, like we all experience in some capacity or another. And those moments are hard. They are sucky. They're not great. You kind of feel our pastor here at 1122 here in Jacksonville, he said it so well one time. He said, you know what, when you feel convicted about something, it's so easy for the enemy to jump in and say, no, you're not convicted. You need to feel shame for that. You need to feel shameful for that. But you know what? Praise the Lord that you feel conviction and focus on that truth, because I think that conviction just means that you care. It means that the Holy Spirit is prompting you that something isn't right. And, you know, in those moments, it's really hard to be obedient. I have been, gosh, I've walked away from so many situations where I'm like, I just felt in my heart I needed to say something about it and I didn't. And that moment has passed and I'm never going to see these people again. And I wasn't obedient. And you know what? Those moments, it's so easy to feel shame, but instead I've tried to focus on just knowing that, okay, I was convicted and I'm going to use this to do better next time. And
it's good.
Honestly, Sadie, like it reminds me so much of the story of Ruth and Naomi in the Bible, where Ruth, we don't need to get into the whole story, but basically their husbands all passed, and Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. Her husband passed. Ruth's husband passed. The right thing that in that time, in that culture, to do was for Ruth to marry the next son, but that son also passed. So all the women was just kind of left like having to figure it out by themselves. And Ruth's sister-in-law decided to stay in their hometown and to not go away to make a new life there for her. She had people she knew there. She's going to stay there. But Ruth just really felt called to go and accompany Naomi, her mother-in-law, to her hometown, back to where she's from, even though that was a very uncomfortable and culturally probably not even appropriate thing for her to have done back in that day. But you know what? The God, like the Lord, blessed Ruth just by her obedience in so many ways that she's literally a part of Jesus's lineage. You know, like, praise the Lord. There's so much just, I think, blessing that can come from being obedient. And
so true.
Listen, it's not easy. It's hard. It's sucky moments sometimes. And you know what? You might not see the fruit from your obedience immediately, but I know that there will be rewards waiting for you at some point.
100%. That's so good. And I love that you brought up Ruth, because I think a lot of times whenever we start to feel that peer pressure, if you will, from our convictions, is when there's other people around you who are also believers or also good people and they don't feel convicted. Then you're like, well, if they don't feel it, then I shouldn't feel it. You know, if they don't feel this, then you just kind of like silence your conviction and you just go with the crowd. And Ruth could have very easily done what I believe Orpah was the sister's name, because she's not like a bad person. She's just moving on. She's going on to do other things, and she could have been like, well, I feel this conviction, but I mean, you know what? I could just do that because she's a good person too. And I think those are the moments I fall into. It's not like whenever I'm around people who are just going crazy, I'm like, oh, I want to go crazy. Right. No, it's not that. It's like when I'm with good people and maybe we're talking about something that everyone else feels kind of what we're talking about, but I just feel convicted by it. Like, it's in those moments that I can't compare my convictions and have to really be obedient to what God's put on my heart. And you really do find that even when you step out and even when it's awkward for a moment, like I always say, 5 seconds of awkward can save you from a lifetime of regret. Sometimes it's not big as a lifetime, but moments of regret, months of regret, weeks of regrets, just hours of regret. And man, it's always worth it. That's so good. I want to finish this, by the way, I started it even just by talking about what a good friend you are, and even just in a silly context, not wearing white because you knew I was wearing white. And I know that's silly and it's funny, but so many girls just aren't out for each other's good like that. You know, like if they knew their friend was wearing white, they'd be trying to find the best outfit they could find, you know, because they knew what their person's wearing. And I think that that comes from this like competitive nature inside of us. And you know, coming from a pageant background where you're literally trained to compete, like trained to have the best dress, trained to look the best, have the best, I don't know if y'all did swimwear, but swim body, and trained to all to speak the best and all that kind of stuff. I feel like even if you're not in the pageant world, you still feel that way. Like you want to show up and you want to look the best. You want to be the funniest. You want to be this or that or whatever. Talk to me about how you fight against that, because, you know, so many girls out there, it's hard to be a sister and a friend when you're not out for your sister's good, you know? And so how do you fight against those feelings of wanting to be the best, look the best, always have the best, and you're able to like cheer people on whenever it's their moment to have?
Mm. I can't remember who this was, but someone once told me, you know, Demi, no one will ever be able to be you. And mm-hmm. I think in that sense, it might have come from more of a worldly perspective. And that was something that a piece of advice that was given to me that I like really held on to, because I was like, you get to Miss Universe and there's like 95 girls that's competing with one another. And there's like 5 color swimsuits. So obviously like a bunch of you are going to wear the same color or the same like opening outfit that was sponsored by, you know, beautiful designer. And like, there's just going to be some of you that end up wearing the same thing. So, you know, it's really hard not to compare. And I think in so many ways in our life, like we can feel like, you know, but oh, they're going to tackle the same theme that I'm tackling, or they're going to do the same thing here. So I have to be better. But I think as I matured and as I grew older, that quote is still very relevant to me, and I feel like I still apply it to my life. But I feel like I've had to go back and realize, okay, but why is no one going to be able to be you? And that doesn't come from a place of arrogance or, you know, I think like no one can, I'm untouchable. Like no one, that's definitely not where it comes from.
Yeah.
I think it comes from knowing that no one will ever be able to be me, because God made me in his image for a specific plan and purpose for my life.
That's right.
And believing in that plan that God has for you, not for everyone else, but for your life specifically, and having not confidence in your abilities because they are limited, but having confidence in God's abilities because they are unlimited. They're never ending. And he is always going to have a better plan and purpose for your life than you can ever imagine. And say, like, honestly, just believing that, like, we read that in the Bible, we read Psalm 139, I think 14 to 15, where it says, you're knit together in your mother's womb, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, but why? Because, like, really just believing that. I think once I started actually truly believing that in my life and believing in not my plan or purpose for my life, but God's plan and purpose for my life.
Right.
And I think then we get to the point anyway where we can so easily be like, oh, you know, everything will work out. It will all be fine. God's got a plan and purpose. Well, that's where I'll tell you, well, don't stop working in the waiting period. It doesn't just mean that you need to put up your hands and everything's going to fall into place and fall into your lap. I think that's where we still got to work, even in the times where we feel like we're in a waiting period.
Come on. Come on, girl. Preach. That is so good. I'm like getting fired up over here because I know so many people need that. So many people need that. So many people need to be reminded that the reason why you can be confident is not because you look around and you're better than everybody else. That's not the case. When you look around, you're actually going to feel insecure, because the minute you start comparing yourself is when you're going to get insecure. But when you realize there's no sense in comparing, because you're not a copy of anybody else. You were originally designed by the God who created all of creation. The same God that made the sun and the moon made you and called you good. And that's when you realize and you sink, like let that reality sink in. Let Psalms 139 sink in for a minute, that you were knit together in your mother's womb, formed perfectly without blemish. Like that's when you realize, oh shoot, like there is no reason to be insecure. There is no reason to feel the need to strive to be better than another, because you can't be, because you are the best. You just got to be the best version of you that you can possibly be. That's what God created you for, not to be better than everybody else, but to be the best version of you. And so I love everything you said, Demi. It's always so awesome to have you on the podcast. For those of you who are listening, who have been encouraged, please go follow Demi on Instagram, because she puts out so many great things. Like we've already talked about, she has the Everlasting Crowns Bible study right now that you can download, or Devo that you can download for free at timtebofoundation.org. Follow along her and Tim's journey and get involved with what they're doing. Demi, thanks again for just being such a light and being such a great friend. I appreciate you, and always grateful to have you on the Well That's Good podcast.
Oh, thank you, Sadie. I appreciate you so much, and happy birthday month.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday to you too.
Yeah, we get to love share you, one. I love it.
Love you, friend.